American Zionist regime, our enrichment has come to a suspension point. It doesn't mean that because of what has been imposed on us, we would be prepared to back up from the rights within the international law. Therefore, as a member of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, we are entitled to utilize the nuclear energy peacefully, and we're determined to move in that direction.
During his weekly presser in Tehran, Ismail Baghaei also said that the European Troika is disrupting Tehran's cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency. He added Iran expects the UN nuclear agency to abide by its technical and specialized duties in the face of pressures by the U.S. and the E3. Regarding the recent anti-Iran resolution by the Board of Governors of the IAEA, Baghaei said the resolution will further tarnish the independence of the UN agency. He said the move is a stain of disgrace for those who tabled the resolution. Baghaei added that the agreement between Iran and the IAEA signed in Cairo in September is now null and void. While the Israeli regime continues its deadly attacks in the Gaza Strip in violation of the U.S.-brokered ceasefire agreement in the besieged territory, the regime has violated the truce nearly 500 times since the ceasefire came into effect on October the 10th. In its latest attacks, Israel has killed more than 30 Palestinians in northern and central Gaza. We are now joined by our correspondent in Deir el-Balah, Ghada Ibrahim, for more updates. Ghada, as always, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us during this hour's top headlines. Ghada, what is the situation there on the ground, the continued violations, and of course, the dire humanitarian situation?
Yes, exactly. And the U.S. brokered ceasefire agreement proves its fragility every passing day since the 10th of October until now. More attacks are taking place. Israeli occupation since yesterday escalated its attacks on all the areas of the Gaza Strip and carried out a deadly wave of air strikes that targeted the people's homes, residential buildings, encampments, vehicles, and sheltering encampments in the west of Gaza City and in the west of the middle area as well, resulting in more than 30 people were killed, more than 30 people were killed, more than 80 Palestinians were injured, and until now, we are still living or witnessing the consequences of this genocide or these massacres Israel occupation army committed against the population here in the Gaza Strip. Since this morning, until now, we are still witnessing and seeing the funerals coming out from Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. Many people are trying, paying farewell to their beloved ones here in Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, and many were retrieved this morning as a result of the latest airstrikes that targeted Abu Shawish family. The Israeli occupation army committed massacres that resulted in wiping off completely families like Abu Shawish and Abid in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp and in the west of Deir el-Balah as well. And until this moment, we are still hearing the artillery shelling on the eastern parts of Deir el-Balah city, the eastern parts of Khan Yunis as well. A short while ago, a wave of airstrikes, at least 10 airstrikes targeting the eastern part of Khan Yunis city, the outskirts of Al Qarara and Beni Sahela areas, according to the locals in these areas. So consequently, most of the people or most of the population in the Gaza Strip are still living and experiencing every detail of the Israeli genocidal war. This day, since yesterday until now, we are typically living and experiencing a genocidal day or a genocidal campaign by the Israeli occupation army. People are still living the starvation, people are still living dehydration, the siege, the deprivation, and also, most importantly, the displacement. More than 1 million Palestinians are still displaced in the western parts of the Gaza Strip, lacking all the basics of survival, for example, in Al-Mawasi area and also in Ashata refugee camp. And since the Israeli occupation army has already widened the circle of its attacks in the western parts of Ash-Shija'iyya neighborhood and changed the demarcation lines of the yellow line or the yellow demarcation of the yellow zones in these areas, in particular, most of the families and the residential clusters in these areas found themselves under fire and found themselves under the threat of the Israeli attacks.
Exactly. Well, on that point, I'd like to thank you, as always, our correspondent joining us from Deir al-Balaghat, Ibrahim, with those latest updates. Well, Israeli forces have killed five members of the Hamas resistance movement in violation of the U.S.-brokered ceasefire agreement in the Gaza Strip. Israel claimed their forces killed the resistance fighters in retaliation for an attack on its forces in Gaza. Under the ceasefire deal, Israel must allow the safe transfer of about 200 Hamas fighters out of the Palestinian territories. These Hamas fighters have been staying inside a tunnel network since the ceasefire came into force on October the 10th. The Palestinian group has accused the regime of violating the truce under fabricated pretext and called on mediators to intervene immediately. More than 340 civilians have also been killed in the Israeli attacks since the ceasefire came into effect. Analyst and political commentator Paul Guroudy was with us earlier. He said Israel's disregard for international law is backed by powerful allies, and only a determined resistance can end the occupation and prevent further destruction of Gaza.
Its founding abided by any international law, and the only way it survives is with the support of more powerful, let's say, patrons that also do not abide by international law and are happy to support Israel's destruction of populations and habitations that in order to establish the goals of the Zionist project. So the only road to success, which was articulated by several members of the resistance, including, of course, Hamas and notably Yahya Sinwar, the only role is to have an effective and growing resistance that makes occupation and genocide intolerable to the Zionist authority.
Well, an anti-Israeli group offering rewards for killing senior regime academics has raised alarms among Israelis over the possibility of coordinated attacks on prominent scholars. The Punishments for Justice movement has published a list of dozens of Israeli scientists it accuses of complicity in Israel's genocidal war in Gaza. The group offered payments of up to $100,000 for the killing of individuals named on the list. In addition to bounties for their deaths, the site advertised $1,000 for placing signs outside targets' homes and $20,000 for burning their vehicles. Hundreds of other Israeli academics and students were also listed, with a $50,000 reward offered for their killing. Several of those named live outside Israel, including in the United States. Attacks on Israel-related targets worldwide have surged since the Gaza genocide began in 2023, marking a dramatic 140% increase over the year 2022. Well, Israeli forces and violent settlers have raided more Palestinian towns and villages across the occupied West Bank. Settlers attacked Palestinians in Beit Ur al-Tahta, west of Ramallah, injuring at least six Palestinians. Also, the Israeli military carried out raids into several towns near Al-Khalil and Nablus, abducting multiple civilians. For more on this, we were earlier joined by our Ramallah correspondent, Naqa Hamad.
Let me start by the most recent attack that happened earlier towards the village of Kafr Malik to the northeast of occupied Ramallah, where the Israeli forces raided the village and arrested Palestinians, fiercely interrogated them, and then later set them free. During this raid upon Kafr Malik, the Israeli forces have thrown symbols and slogans on the village's walls and then used paint to paint over the photos of the martyrs and over the Palestinian flags that are written and drawn on the walls of this village. Another attack by the Israeli forces and a raid was towards the village of Al-Bakhir, also to the northeast of occupied Ramallah. This name has become so familiar as this village, Al-Bakhir village, is becoming a steadfastness icon over here as the Israeli forces and the Israeli settlers are intensifying their efforts against the village and against its residents. They just attack Al-Mughayyir. The vehicles, the military vehicles, just wander in the streets and attacking Palestinians, arresting Palestinians, sometimes beating some of them while fieldly interrogating them.
Well, thousands in the United States have gathered in the capital of Washington, D.C. to call for the impeachment, conviction, and removal of President Donald Trump.
This is our watch. We cannot wait until some other time, hoping that things will get better in the meantime. No, things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. We must convict. We must impeach. We must have him removed.
The rally, billed as Remove the Regime and organized by a grassroots group known as the Removal Coalition, drew a number of current and former officials. The protesters say the Trump administration has ignored the majority of Americans, fueling widespread public frustration. The demonstration comes during a record-setting year for nationwide protests amid growing discontent with the administration. Last month, more than 7 million people joined the No Kings protests, which unfolded during what later became a record-breaking government shutdown. In other news, the United States is reportedly preparing to launch a new phase of operations targeting Venezuela as the Trump administration intensifies pressure on President Nicolas Maduro. Two U.S. officials say the options under review include attempting to overthrow Maduro, as Sepp Kourakis has long warned the U.S. is seeking. The timing and scope of the planned operations remain unclear, but U.S. military forces have been building up in the Caribbean for months. This as Washington has already authorized covert CIA activities inside of Venezuela. A number of six international airlines have canceled flights to and from Venezuela after the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration warned of a potentially hazardous situation over Venezuelan airspace. Since September, the U.S. has launched at least 21 strikes on boats in the Pacific and Caribbean under the pretext of combating drug trafficking. Human rights groups call the attacks illegal extrajudicial killings and warn of potential violations of international law. Now joining us with more analysis on the story is Mr. Kevin Barrett, editor of Veterans Today, joining us there from Saidi, Morocco. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Barrett, for joining us during this hour's top headlines. First of all, let's go ahead and start off, and significantly that human rights groups are saying that these are potential violations of international law, even though they've been targeting their killing innocent bystanders on those boats, from what we've heard from the Venezuelan president, from the Cuban president. And the thing is that people are not knowing about the timing. They're saying the timing and scope of these plans operations are unclear. But are they truly unclear, in your opinion, Mr. Barrett?
Preparing for a potential war of aggression to try to seize control of Venezuela's oil supplies. Venezuela has the most proven oil reserves of any nation on earth. And it's sitting right there in the Western Hemisphere, which under the Monroe Doctrine supposedly belonged to the United States. So somebody like Trump, who doesn't care about international law, is tempted to just move in and seize those resources. And the pretext is the most ludicrous, transparently absurd pretext. And that's saying something, because the United States has a long history of waging war on false pretexts. Israeli demolition of the World Trade Center was used as a pretext to launch the series of post-9/11 wars of regime change on behalf of Israel. And now we're seeing this pretext that they make up a completely false story about a non-existent drug cartel and lie and say that the president of Venezuela is the head of this non-existent cartel. It's a complete joke. And then they start murdering fishermen, claiming that they're stopping drugs. Everybody knows this is a big lie, but because they have the power, they can get away with it. And it's just shocking, especially because the United States and especially the CIA is the world's worst drug trafficker. Indeed, the invasion of Afghanistan was sort of a mirror image of this, in which one of the perhaps the biggest single reason for invading Afghanistan in 2001 was to re-enable the drug trade, which the Taliban had shut down. And even today, now we're hearing about possible U.S. attacks to re-invade Afghanistan and seize Bagram Air Base, precisely because, once again, the Taliban has shut down the CIA's narcotics trade. So I am so ashamed to be an American with a government that is this corrupt, and I hope and pray that the Israeli-occupied U.S. government is defeated as soon as possible and in the most conclusive way possible.
Well, on that point, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Kevin Barrett, editor of Veterans Today, joining us from Al Saidi, Morocco.
Well, thank you very much for this hour's headlines. More updates, as always, please stay tuned to World News. Goodbye for now.
And cold, I walk in the city alone in the crowd. Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper. Why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name? Like a storm, the signs stopped and naked and back to the cold. A smiling face is on the screen, but there's no room in my burning heart for icy words. My clouds are hitting behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I reject the call and again play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
We are approaching the days of Fatimiyya. There are two narrations, according to the preferred view would be the second Fatimiyya that we are soon going to commemorate. And I would like to take this opportunity to talk about the first attack on the rights of women in the history of Islam. We heard about our point of view, the other point of view. Everybody is happy. But let us reflect on ourselves also. You know, when we talk about this issue of suffering of the women in Muslim cultures, it's not because of the deen. It's not because of the Sharia. It's not because of the Quran. You know, people have some assumption. And this is not all over the Muslim world. There are certain cultures and societies where it is taken for granted that when the parents die, the property will only be inherited by the sons and not by the daughters. And you hear about it quite a lot. You know, sometimes it's said, well, you know, when our sisters got married, our parents have to pay quite a lot in their marriage and in the, you know, jahiz and other things, so it's done. Well, that's nothing to do with it. The rules of inheritance. Inheritance comes when a person passes away. Then the division has to be done. And the Quran is very clear about it. You know, and this is where those who believe in Fatima al-Zahra salawatullah alayha, and they cry and grieve on her suffering and her deprivation of her right, inheritance of her father, should remember this. That it shouldn't be that you who are crying, you have a sister whom you have deprived of her, you know, right in the inheritance of your parents. Another point, you know, it's important to realize is that inheritance, miras, you know, the rights of the children, this only comes to exist after the death of the parents. As long as they are alive, there is no issue of, you know, oh, my haq or your haq. You know, sometimes I hear these stories. When things don't go well, you know, the son will say, okay, I will separate, but give me my haq. Oh, boy, I'm alive. What haq are you talking about? No, my haq in your wealth. Oh, you don't have any haq. When I'm alive, I am 100% owner of what I have. I can do whatever I want. Sometimes son-in-laws, through their wives' pressure, I want my haq. I hear these stories. It's not just this, you know, imagination. This is where we have to realize, when the parents are alive, it's their haq. Children don't have any haq on the wealth of the parents when it comes to inheritance. It's only when they die. That's where your haq is generated. The problem is that, you know, people, for their masail of zindagi, their issues of life, they look at these dramas in Pakistani TV. And they think this is Sharia. You know, these days I'm hearing, you know, oh, we don't need this Tawzi'ul Masail. Well, this is what happens when you resort to dramas for your Sharia and your Islamic opinions. This is where we have to realize that you have to go back. You know, we are followers of Ali and Fatima. We follow the Ahlul Bayt. We follow the Quran. Let us, you know, be true to our faith and our affiliation to the Ahlul Bayt. After rejecting the claim of Abu Bakr on the issue of Fadak, Bibi Fatima salawatullah alayha then goes further, where she says, وَزَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّ لَا خُطْوَةَ لِي وَلَا أَرِثُ مِنْ عَبِي وَلَا رَحِمَ بَيْنَنَا. You know, do you think that I don't have a right in this issue and I don't inherit my father? What is the basis? Is there no relationship between me and my father? Is this what you're saying? Because there should be a reason to deny somebody the inheritance. أَفَخَصَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِآيَةٍ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا عَبِي. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, send a special verse to you to exclude my father from the laws of inheritance? That when he dies, his property will become state property? أَمْ تَقُولُونَ أَهْلَ مِلَّتَيْنِ لَا يَتَوَارَثَانِ. Do you mean to say that I and my father belong to two different religions? Because one of the barriers in inheritance is kufr. So if the parent is Muslim and the son becomes kafir, then that son will not inherit. The child will not inherit. And so this is what she's saying. Do you mean to say that the religion of my father and mine are different, and therefore I cannot inherit? أَوَلَسْتُ عَنَا وَأَبِي مِنْ أَهْلِ مِلَّةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Am I and my father not from the same religion? أَمْ أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِخُصُوصِ الْقُرْآنِ وَعُمُومِهِ مِنْ عَبِي وَابْنَ عَمِّي. Are you more learned about the specific rulings in the Quran or the general rulings of the Quran? Are you more learned than my father and his cousin? Referring to Ali. And this is where, you know, it's a very clear statement that Bibi Fatima Zahra salawatullah alayha has on this issue. So basically, you are getting all these main rulings about inheritance. Even the barriers to inheritance, she is bringing this up. What is the basis of preventing me from inheriting my father? And this is something we always, you know, have to come, you know, keep in our mind. And this is again, well, I'll say that if you want to understand the true message of the Quran, you have to go to the waris of the Quran, and that is the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirril mustawda'i fi بعدد ما أحاط به علمك يا فاطمة يا فاطمة.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran. Time since her birthday. It's been a long time she asked her husband before her departure from this world that nobody should take part in her burial. We're going to know about the personality of her, the daughter of Allah's last messenger. This is like Fatima.
Peace be on you, O daughter of the Messenger of Allah. Peace be on you, O daughter of the Prophet of Allah. Peace be on you, O daughter of the dearest beloved of Allah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. Hello and welcome to our program about the life of the Honorable Fatima Zahra. Peace be upon her. I am your host, Rashida Hanif. With me in the studio today is Ms. Zahra Musawi, who received her bachelor's degree from King's College in England and is now a teacher at the Islamic College for Women. Salaam alaikum.
Salaam alaikum. How are you?
Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mrs. Zahra Musawi is here to share with us her research on the life of our dear Fatima Zahra. It's always nice to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Last time we spoke of the passing of our Holy Prophet and the grievous effect that it had on our dear Fatima Zahra.
Yes.
And today we want to concentrate on one of the major problems to confront Fatima Zahra quite soon after the death of the Holy Prophet.
Yes.
And this is the whole situation surrounding Fadak.
Yes.
First of all, can you tell us what was Fadak?
Fadak is the name of a piece of land. A very, very large piece of land. Some say it was a village inside the Khaybar area in Hijaz, and some say it was a city in Hijaz. So this shows it was a large area, and it had many trees. It was very good land. It was like a big garden. And in those areas, a big garden was worth much. It had a huge outcome, a huge revenue each year.
Based on what? A revenue based on what?
had fruits.
I see.
Had dates, the best of each kind.
Okay.
Which they could sell.
Okay.
Yes.
And why was this a problem then? What happened to Fadak?
Well, when the Prophet entered Khaybar,
okay,
which is an area in Hijaz, he had to fight with those who betrayed him,
mm-hmm.
those who broke their promise, and they were the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They broke their promise. And he was victorious, and he conquered all the castles
mm-hmm.
or forts, apart from three forts
okay.
in this Khaybar area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Prophet, he put these three forts under siege. He besieged them
mm-hmm.
and surrounded them
mm-hmm.
for some time. It became difficult for the people who were living in these forts. And so, in the end, they decided to send a messenger or send mm-hmm. a message to the Prophet saying, can we possibly leave this siege safely?
Okay.
Okay, and you do us no harm. Now, the Prophet, being a loving person, accepted. If it was anybody apart from the Prophet, they wouldn't have accepted because they broke their promise.
Mm-hmm.
They broke their vow.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were sure that the Prophet was, you know, he meant it, when
mm-hmm.
they were sure that the Prophet meant it, and when they were touched by his kindness,
mm-hmm.
they told the Prophet, we want to divide our fruits and our riches and our gardens into two halves.
Mm-hmm.
And we will give a half to you as a present to maintain peace.
Okay.
And to restore peace between us.
Okay.
And the Prophet accepted.
Okay.
So there were no wars or battles fought to gain Fadak.
So this is how Fadak came into the possession of the Holy Prophet.
Yes.
We're going to take a break.
And Allah rendered prohibition from drinking wine because of taking distance from contaminations, and Allah made refraining from theft for the sake of positiveness and affirmation for modesty.
Welcome back. And now, did Fadak come into the possession of the Holy Prophet himself, or was it for the general Muslims?
No. It wasn't for the general Muslims. It's a
okay.
common misconception.
Now, can we consider this part of general war booty that is, you know, belongs to all the Muslims and
yes.
must therefore be divided up to
no,
all of
no,
them?
No. It's
okay.
totally different.
Okay.
Now, because there was no bloodshed for this.
Okay.
And it was given as a present to the Prophet. It belonged to the Prophet only.
It was personal property then.
It was personal property.
Okay.
And in wars,
mm-hmm.
when there was bloodshed, when people lost their lives, yes, the booty was divided between those who fought.
Okay.
But this is a different case. People
mm-hmm.
started to question, why hasn't the Prophet given us our share of Fadak?
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't he given us our share? And God sent down an ayah.
Mm-hmm.
He sent down a verse from the Holy Quran.
Okay.
It is Surah Hashr,
mm-hmm.
verse 6 and 7. I'm going to read the first ayah, and then I'll just explain the second ayah.
Okay.
And it is, وَمَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْهُمْ فَمَا أَوْجَفْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خَيْلٍ وَلَا رِكَابٍ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يُسَلِّطُ رُسُلَهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And the translation of this verse is, and whatever Allah restored to his apostle from them, you did not press forward against it any horse riding or a camel. But Allah gives authority to his apostles against whom he pleases. And Allah has power over all things.
Okay. So this ayah is saying that there was no battle fought.
Yes.
And Allah has given this to the Holy Prophet himself.
Yes.
And do with as he pleases.
Exactly,
and Allah
yes.
has power to do this.
And in the next ayah explains.
Okay.
And through these ayahs we understand that.
What does the next ayah say?
It explains that these lands, God, by putting fear in the hearts of the Jews, they gave this land without war to the Prophet.
Okay.
And so they belong to the Prophet and God to do with it what they please. These lands are God's and the Prophet. They do not belong to the believers. They do not because nobody fought for this war.
Right.
There was no bloodshed. So it belonged to the Prophet. I mean, this is an ayah in the Quran.
Yes.
If you question this, then you're questioning the Quran.
Right.
That means Fedek was something which personally belonged to the Prophet. He could do with it what he pleased.
Okay. And what did he please? What did he do with it?
Well, when after Fedek was given to the Prophet, God sent down another ayah. He revealed another verse. And it says, فَآتِي ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then give to the near of kin his due, and to the needy and the wayfarer. This is best for those who desire Allah's pleasure, and these it is who are successful.
Okay.
When Allah sent down this ayah, the first question you ask is, who are the next of kin? Everybody agrees, both Shias and both Sunnis, that the next of kin are the Prophet's household, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Fatima al-Zahra, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. God is telling the Prophet, this land that you have, give it to Fatima.
For the next of the kin, okay.
Give it to Fatima al-Zahra. Now, the Prophet, he called Fatima, and he told her, my daughter, the world-creating God has made Fedek your father's and has made it his specific right. So he's saying Fedek is specifically mine.
Okay.
It belongs to nobody else. Then the Prophet says, Fedek is mine and no one has any right in it. And by God's orders, due to God's command, I can do whatever I want with it. Because your dear and great mother had a dowry, I will leave Fedek in your hands and your children's hands. After saying this, the Prophet asked for a piece of skin and told Imam Ali to write, Fedek is God's present to Fatima. And he told Imam Ali to sign it, and he had a servant who signed it, and also Ayman signed it.
Okay.
So they have this document to prove that Fedek belongs to Fatima al-Zahra. And it's interesting that the Prophet says Fedek is God's present to Fatima. God's present, not my present.
Right.
It's God's present to Fatima.
The interesting thing about that, or one of the interesting things about that, is that the Holy Prophet, it seems, whenever there was an opportunity to give Fatima Zahra something extra, he was never pleased with the idea.
No, he wasn't, no.
Presents, jewelry, necklaces, you know, a curtain in the house, things, extra things. He never really liked that idea.
No, he didn't.
But so why now is he happy to bestow this property to her?
Because God has told him.
Right.
Give her right. God knew, God knows, even the Prophet knew what would happen in the future. So they gave Fedek as an insurance to Fatima al-Zahra.
Right.
And as soon as the Prophet gave Fedek to Fatima al-Zahra, she got working. She sent her representative in there. She put workers in there to, you know, collect the fruits, plant things. And it is interesting that before Fedek and after Fedek, Fatima al-Zahra's financial situation stayed exactly the same.
I see.
It didn't change. She didn't go and buy a four-story house and make all the floors marble and decorate the walls with gold.
She didn't do improvements, huh?
No,
she didn't.
She didn't.
Home improvements?
No, she didn't do any home improvements. She just stayed the way she was, and she gave to the poor more.
Right.
She helped the needy more. So God knows who to give what to. He gave it to Fatima because she knows she would carry out her, he knew she would carry out her role. She would give to the poor. She would help the poor. She wouldn't keep it to herself and, you know, spend it all on herself. Like many poor people say, oh, you know, I've been poor all my life. You know, why doesn't God give me anything? Maybe if God gave that person money, maybe he'd forget about God. Maybe he'd be so involved in money and this world that he'd become a bad person.
Yes, and we have had examples of that. There are many stories of things like that happening to some of the companions of the Holy Prophet who received wealth and then forgot all about worshiping Allah because they were too busy taking care of their wealth and making more money with it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it is in history. I mean, if people doubt it, then they... I don't know what to say. I don't have a comment for that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a historical fact that the Prophet gave Fedek to Fath.
And it's also interesting that he made sure that it was written down and signed and approved and witnessed by others as well.
Yes. Okay. It's very
important. So there was no doubt about it.
There was no doubt about it. And he made sure that her workers were in that land. So people could see these are Fatima's workers working in Fedek. They could be sure, it could be shown to them that this land belongs to Fatima.
Okay.
So people, all the people saw this, people witnessed this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a historical fact. If you doubt it, then you have to doubt all the history of Islam.
Okay.
Because it's as clear as sunlight is.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ms. Zahra Moussaoui. And we will continue our discussion in our next program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're not aware that we're aware of your despair. Don't show your tears to your oppressor. Don't show your tears. Try not to cry,
David slew Goliath, this very same place that we be at. Passing through the sand of time, this land been a victim of countless crimes. From crusaders, mongers, to the present aggression. Then the Franks, now even a cruel oppression. If these walls could speak, imagine what would they say. For me in this path that I walk on, there's only one way. Bullets may kill, bones may break. Still I throw stones like David before me, and I say,
try not to cry.
No pierdas la fe, la sé, la calma el que hace. Agua de la arena, y tú que te levantas con orgullo entre las piedras. Has hecho mares de este polvo.
Yeah, I throw stones at my eyes, for too long they've been dry. Plus they see what they shouldn't from oppressed babies to thighs. I throw stones at my tongue, cause it should really keep its peace. I throw stones at my feet, cause they stray and lead to defeat. Couple of big
big ones at my heart, cause the thing is freezing cold. But my nub's still alive and kicking, unstoppable on a roll. I throw bricks at the devil, so I'll be sure to hit him. But first at the man in the mirror, so I can chase out the venom.
Little boy, shining ahead. Just another kiss and out to get some bread. Not the first murder, nor the last. Again and again, a repetition of the past.
Since the very first day, same story.
Young ones, old ones, some glory. How can it be? Has the whole world turned blind? Or is it just cause it's only affecting my kind? If these walls could speak, imagine what would they say? For me, this path that I walk on, there's only one way.
Bones may kill, bones may break, stand up on stones. David, I say, bullets may kill, bones may break, stand up on stones. David, I say,
try not to cry.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
حضرت فاطمة عليها السلام is the role model for women throughout history and for all In her short life, Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her, achieved the position as the primary woman of all females. In other words, she is superior to all great and saintly women throughout history. What factors, forces, and what kind of inner strength could lead one person to become such a notion of wisdom, piety, sanctity, and spiritual transcendence in such a short time? This is a miracle of Islam. Another pivotal matter is in regards to the blessed descendants of this great person, Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. The association of Surah Al-Kawthar with Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, even if such an association had not existed in our collection of hadith, is an accurate association. There are so many blessings that have been bestowed upon the Holy Prophet's household and on each and every one of the Imams, peace be upon them. The world is full of enjoyable individual, social, worldly, and otherworldly melodies which rose from the pure lungs of the Imams, peace be upon them. Hussein ibn Ali, Zainab al-Kubra, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, Imam Sadiq, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon them all, each and every one of the Imams would produce these melodies. See, what great excitement exists in the world of spirituality and on the path of guidance because of the words of these great personalities and their lessons and teachings. They are the children of Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. We should make greater efforts towards emulating Fatima Zahra, alayha salam. Lessons to be learned from the life of Siddiqatul Tahira Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam involve making great efforts, showing diligence, and leading a pure life. just as that great personality, the manifestation of enlightenment and purity, led her life. She was pure, immaculate, virtuous, and pious. Traits of purity, piety, and enlightenment of such an exceptional person are what have influenced our Islamic teachings throughout the history of Shia Islam. In the history of Islam, for every group or stratum of society, there is a suitable role model whose guiding light for salvation and on the path to perfection. The role model for women, as declared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is Hazrat Fatima Zahra alayha salam. As rightly stated by the noble Prophet, Fatima is the best of all women of the world, Sayyidat Nisa al-Alameen, and a role model for all Muslim women. Referring to this, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "The history of Islam is witness to the immense respect that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Hazrat Zahra alayha salam, which also powerfully reflects on the importance of women in society. If they are not superior to men, they are definitely not any inferior."
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
From Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, a heartfelt greeting to all our dear listeners. We are ready to bring you another day of thoughtful programming, rich conversations, and insightful content. It's Monday, and we've got a lineup designed to inspire, inform, and accompany you through the day. So, wherever you are, make yourself comfortable. There is so much ahead. Well, to begin our broadcast, we present today's special. This is a special daily program that deals with various Islamic and Iranian occasions. This program makes extensive use of various items such as Quranic verses, prayers, nasheeds, and reports. that would be a truly unique opening to our week indeed. Following that, please join us for Hadith of the Day, where timeless wisdom unfolds. Sheikh Muhammad Jafar Danish presents a hadith from the Holy Prophet and members of his household, Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, every day along with a brief explanation and commentary on the hadith. In this program, hadith relating to a particular lunar calendar date or a scholar calendar date